Yes. Well, we all know how big and heavy trams are, 15 rhinos or 20 rhinos or something. There is some kind of mathematical equation that involves rhinos and the size of a tram. But how does that then equate to being the perfect canvas? You're probably slightly used to now seeing our art trams around Melbourne. This year, more are being unveiled as a part of the Melbourne Arts Festival. But they have been a part of our city's landscape back since around 1986. Two of the artists, including the very first artist to paint one of our trams, along with one of the newest artists, join you now. Leslie Dumbrell, who was the very first woman to set paint onto a tram, and Nian Chan Ong, welcome to the two of you to Afternoons. Leslie, you're the very first artist to put a paintbrush to a tram.
Well, I don't know that I was the very first one. At the time, Murkamora painted a tram. There were a number of artists. There were, like, it was the same as the system now. There were about six or eight artists invited each year to paint a tram. But we did actually physically paint a tram. It wasn't something stuck onto a tram. We actually went out to the tram depot and spent three or four weeks painting a tram, which was a lot of fun.
How do you look at a tram and know what is going to translate and look good on something that's big, that's moving, that maybe the eye won't be able to keep focused on for long periods of time? So you've got doors, windows, all of those sorts of things. What do you look for?
Well, you can commission to do a tram because you're a painter. So you paint paintings that you stick on a wall. So, of course, the first thing you've got to think about is it's going to be moving around. And it's to some extent three-dimensional because it's got two sides and a front and a back. And I didn't look at it as being like a painting. I looked at it as being something that's going to run around the city and should be interesting to see. And I particularly thought that Melbourne is often a very grey city. We have a lot of rain and greyness. So I wanted something that looked very festive, bright and out there, because why not?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about. And to celebrate what we do and how artistic this city is.
Exactly.
Nian, you're known for many things. We'll get to your camping design and the reason why many of us can or can't sleep on planes in just a moment, because that's where a lot of design that you specialise in, that's where the fields that you work in. But how did you come to have an entire tram? And trams look vastly different now to what they did in sort of 1986. How did your work come to be on a tram?
Well, I saw the EOI online, and I was always interested. And, well, with my work, I've always been interested in mobility and health and well-being. The tram, that's part of this mobility lab that I work together with at Monash University. So it was very natural to me to put in an expression. It just made sense.
Well-being, health and well-being is a big part of your work. So how do art and well-being, how do those two worlds come together?
They're absolutely interconnected. I think we would have an easier time explaining how they are not connected. We've known essentially since Florence Nightingale that art in the hospital matters, and we've known since Marie Curie that creativity and medical breakthroughs and technologies are tied together. And today we know even more that paintings, dance, activity, conversations, they all absolutely matter to the health and well-being of not just a city, but a person in a hospital, from recovery to emergency. They absolutely matter.
I was reading an article, and I'm going to actually try and paraphrase it here a little bit. I can't remember who the artist was, I'm sorry, but she spent some time in hospital and was bedridden, basically, and all of a sudden looked around and went, oh my God, it's bad enough that I'm stuck here in hospital. But she knew that she was able to leave because it was an accident that led her to be there. But being an artist, she thought there are many people that actually spend huge, extended amounts of time in hospital and in recovery. So basically came up the concept of art on ceilings and putting art in a position where it can be viewed by the most important people that are in hospitals. Mm. What a great idea. How does something like that help?
Absolutely, because, well, first of all, there's the composition itself gives you something to look at and to reflect on. Now, that's a really important thing about art. It's not – the artist has an expression, and you look at that expression and your reflection of it, that fires off a few neurons in your brain, and that emotional reaction to any built environment is really, really key. Now, first and foremost, whenever you look at anything built, your first reaction, your interaction with it is that which is emotional. You very quickly decide whether you feel safe or not. That happens so quickly that we don't even have time to gauge it. And then immediately you move on to do I like it or not? And everything else follows. So when you have art and you enter into a space, immediately the art says something to you and you say something back to it. And it, the conversation with do you make me feel safe? Do I like it? How does it feel? Happens very quickly, and it sets the tone for everything else.
So how is that tone and that conversation then set if we put art onto our trams? Does that start to filter it out into the city in any way? You're shaking your head, Leslie.
Well, I don't think it is about – I mean, look, if you go to hospitals, the other thing that I'm always amazed that hospitals don't do is consider that colour is a psychological thing that, and if you have calming, soothing, but beautiful, delicate colours on walls, you'll make a huge difference. When they're all just white and you can see, you know, trailer marks on the sides or whatever, that's not the same thing. I don't know why colour isn't more important. It's just a medium in itself.
Well, Leslie and Nian, if we want to look out this Melbourne Arts Festival and spot your trams, what have you chosen to adorn our trams with?
Well, my tram is just a remake of a tram.
You're doing the same one?
Yeah, exactly. They brought it back to life again.
Is it so you didn't go out and repaint it?
No, I didn't have to do anything.
Oh.
Which is wonderful. And I will just go and see it, and it's all been put together, and it's been a great experience, and I'm sure it's going to look great.
And what about yourself?
Before I talk about my work, I'm a huge fan and a student of Leslie, so I think it's important that I also really thank Leslie for being here. One of my favorite things about your tram is that it's electric. The energy is there. It passes by, and you can – I almost felt like the panels were vibrating, and it's just jumping out at me. And it's grounded, and it's energetic, and it's just this movement captured in an abstract manner. And that's just absolutely what I'm in love with it every time I look at it.
That's very kind of you.
My work is about diversity, and it's inspired by the Last Supper in terms of the composition and the events, but the similarities end there. My wife is my muse. She's the main figure I draw all the time, and I'm just in love with the fact that here's a picture of her having tea with me late at night, and Melbourne can join in at the table every time they look at it.